Good morning, church. Well, it's once more a great privilege that I can come and preach to you this morning. And there's a lot of work to do also in Buffalo Flats. Not that that we come and be part of this, there's nothing to do. We are also candle to one another. You lit a candle and that candle lit another one. And that's what we are as children of God. My greetings come from the Church of Christ in Buffalo Flats. And not as usual, but we are brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. We have one common goal of leading one another to the home above. Amen. Leading one another to the home above. And this journey is not an easy journey. It's not very easy. It needs us all together, jointly. And I had a privilege of listening to Brother Sherman this morning in the Bible study. It was great to hear what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ. You know, and that's what I say in Afrikaans, I say, Amens, dear ander mense. No one is an island. We are because of others. Let me not waste my time, and seeing that my time is very short, quickly going to looking at the scripture that we just read. And I know some of you have heard this message several times, but each time it is like new as we go through this. I look at what I should be talking about to you this morning, not only to you, but to me as well as my congregation in Buffalo Flats. And I think there's a need for all of us to reflect to the Old Testament from time to time. As we know that we are the church of the New Testament, but the Old Testament is a good mirror that we can look at from time to time. And so I thought, let me go back to that. Let us look at our second scripture from the book of Psalms, chapter 18. Psalms, chapter 18. Chapter 18, only two verses, three verses. Psalm, chapter 18, from verse 1 through 3. David says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, whom is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Amen. When you look at the scripture, and in my preparation, I look throughout the life of the Israelite at the time of this king. There's a King Ahab. King Ahab was the son of Omri, and the king before him, Omri, was Jeroboam. And both of these kings, there was something common about them, that they were worshipping foreign gods, the god Baal. And god, the goddess Baal was the god now of fertility and all the riches, according to their minds. And this was now the god that they thought, oh well, we are in this area, let us conform to that environment. If you look at Romans chapter 12, it says the people, let's not conform to the pattern of this world. We are a chosen race. But the Israelites at this time, they were very disloyal to God, disloyal in the sight of God. Their wicked king Ahab had been guilty of leading the people to worship Baal, the Canaanite god, instead of Jehovah, the living God. As a result, wickedness filled the land of Israel, and the Lord was angry with Israel. God was angry with them. They even forgotten the important things that God delivered them in the hands of Pharaoh. They've forgotten about that. Isn't that the same with us? However, in the midst of their sins, God still loved his people. In the midst of all their sins, God still loved his people. You know, I love the quotation from Jeremiah 31 verse 1. You know, in this one I'll paraphrase it, say, thanks God, his love never fails. Thanks to God, his love never fails. There's a song that says, you know, he's never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, he has never failed me yet. Amen. He has never failed me. I don't know about you, but the Lord has never failed me yet. It's only me that fails him, but he has never failed me yet. During this time, King Ben-Hadad of Aram, he went into an alliance of 32 kings. Yes, the king, there was nothing wrong Israel has done. This king now was thinking, he came into his mind and says, all right, fine. Let us now declare war with Israel. All of a sudden. And he called other kings. They become now an alliance of 32 kings. We're going to attack now Israel. Israel now were in the area of called Samaria. And this area was bought now by Amorai. You know, it was more in the hills. And so he bought this land for the children of Israel. This is our land. He spent money. But another king was jealous around them. And I think this situation now also is the same with us. You're going to hear as I will be speaking to you this morning. Because now from time to time, we will find pressure that comes from left and right. And you don't know the reason why. Children of Israel, because now they have neglected what was important. And so the pressure was on them. Now, in the Aramean army, I see a picture of the adversary, the devil. When the Lord enabled you to win a victory against the devil, you must rest assured that he's going to return to you on another day. You know, the scripture that we just read, there was another fight before this. That's not the only one. This is a second battle. In the first battle, Israel conquered them. He conquered them, and with a very few men, an army of 7,000 conquered them. But they were in thousands. But they were conquered. But this time, Israel now, and the king of Aram, he thought that, okay, fine. Let us look at something now that we can do. That we can do in order to conquer them. They thought that now, this God of Israel is the God of the mountains. He lives in the mountains. That's where he is. So if we fight them down in the plains, down in the valley, he will not conquer us. Let us do something else. This is the same as the devil with us, saints. The same with the devil. First Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Let us turn to the scripture. You know, I'd like us to look into it. First Peter chapter 5 verse 8. And I think if we can consider what is written in this, it also tells the same thing about which was happening with the Israelites. Israelites now were relaxing. They thought everything is over. We have conquered them. But they never knew that they are still going to come back again. Verse 8 says, be of sober spirit. Saints, be of sober spirit. In other words, have a self-control. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered so a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you can think about this now, the devil, he is now referred as a roaring lion prowling about seeking someone to devour. The same even today. The Arameans, they thought that if now they're changing the game, the Israelites will not know. They won't know that now we are coming back again to them. So I said, now, if you have a little victory about the devil, about temptation, rest assured, he is coming back in a different way. He is coming back in a different way. But I want to look at now a few things that I want to share with you. One of the things that the Aramean army or Aramean king never understood, they made a dangerous assumption about the Israelites. They made a dangerous assumption about the children of Israel, because their God is not just a God of the mountain. The second thing that now the Israelites, now they found also an encouragement. There was a dynamic message that came to them, a dynamic announcement to them, that were now from the man of God, the man of God, the prophet, because God was on their side. Who can be against us if God is on our side? And finally, there was also a divine accomplishment through the hand of God, the unseen hand of God. But when we put the trust in him, everything is possible. Point number one about the dangerous assumption, it is in verse 23. Verse 23 says, meanwhile, the officials of the king of Aram advised him, their gods are gods of the hills. That is why they were too strong for us. But if we fight them on the plains, surely we will be stronger than they. This is one of the advices. Says, king, if you want us to win this people, let us change the game. Let's go down to the valleys. The Aramean made a dangerous assumption concerning that God of the Israel, since they were defeated in the first battle on the hill surrounding Samaria. They assumed that the God of Israel is the God of mountains only. Their strategy was to fight Israel in the plains far from their God, where they will easily defeat them. The Arameans never thought that this would be a costly assumption. However, it is a gamble that the devil makes all the time. He makes all the time. The Aramean, a second assumption, was based on numbers. They were basing on numbers. You know, if you look at 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 27b. Verse 27b says, the Israelites camped opposite them like a too small flock of goats. As a clean bondelki, flock of goats, too small flock of goats. Look at this. While the Arameans covered the countryside, you could not count. They were so numerous around them. There were multitudes around them. But Israelites were just a small bundle. You know, if you think about this now, they thought that, hey, man, we are many than them. And there was no reason that we could not conquer them. You see, when we are on the mountain spiritually, we are hard for the devil to handle. To be on the mountain, that means now to be spiritually strong. And how do we get that when we are eating from the word of God? That's why Peter, you know, in Peter chapter, in chapter 1, chapter 2 there, 1 Peter chapter 2 there, and he says that we must crave for the pure milk. Crave for the pure milk. And that pure milk is the word of God. That will strengthen you, that will affirm you. When we are eating the word of God, the devil does not have a chance in our lives. But the only problem is now, is that now we are using only the church as only a place, that mountaintop that we are. And forgetting that even in our homes, those plains, our homes, the devil is there as well. The devil is there in those plains. And the plains down there is your own home, at your workplace. Those are the plains. The devil does not rest. Now, I want to take you people, you know, there was a situation that of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. You know, we can hear now about men, Sanballat and so on, Tobiah, who are also caused the Israelites now to lose hope as they were building the walls of Jerusalem. But yet, we should not give up. This is the situation Satan ran into with Job. You know, with Job as well, I like this one. You know, with Job, he put squeeze on Job, exp- expecting Job to turn away from God. However, all the devil was able to extract from the life of Job was worship and praise. I don't know if you hear me in this one. The devil started now to squeeze Job to a point where he has lost most of the things. As he was, the more the devil was squeezing Job, the Job was driven now to praises and worship of God. What do? When we are under pressure in this world, we run away from God. We run away from God. But Job, he drew nearer to God. That's what we're supposed to be. But we don't. We allow the devil to play with us like a yo-yo. If the devil squeezes you and he gets praises to God for the efforts he is making is to stop squeezing you after a while. All that you need, trust in the Lord. Go to your knees in prayer, because the God you are serving, he's omnipresent. He's not only a God of the church buildings, he's also a God of our homes. He's also a God of our homes. Don't think that now when we are far from our brothers and sisters, this God is not there. He is there. We need to call him in times of need. Now, the tool that the devil uses, just want to share with you quickly. There's a tool that the devil uses in order to squeeze you so that you move away or you're being derailed from the direction that you are going through. One of those, I did a look at one of illustration, and this one is discouragement. In my illustration to you, one day there was the devil had a jumble sale. You know the jumble sale? I don't know if you know about the jumble sale. You know the garage sale? there's a jumble sale. In the jumble sale, the devil was selling everything that you can find written in the book of Galatians chapter 5, those negative things that are written over there. And amongst those things, I have mentioned, like hatred was there for sale. Envy was there for sale. Jealousy was there for sale. Strife was there for sale. Doubt was there for sale. Lying was there for sale. Covetousness, pride, and so on were there for sale. They had tags on them, each one, that were priced for sale. But a distance away, there was one tool that was also marked, but it was put aside. The prices of these were affordable, but the one that had the price was too high. Oh, everything maybe is 100 Rand, 200 Rand. When you get this one, this tool now, it's 5,000. All of a sudden. And nobody was had any interest of getting closer to this tool. And this tool was so worn out. When you look at it, and you people have never been in the farm. Some of you are town people. So if you're in the farm, you're using an XO or an X or whatever, you will see that it's getting finished and finished. But when you look at this tool that was sitting and put aside there, was worn out. It looked so old and ugly. And nobody wanted it, and everybody was interested in others, of buying others. And there was a question, somebody was interested in us. Mr. Devil, why this is marked so high? He says, because I use it a lot. I use it a lot. And these others, I don't need them much. I use this one a lot. And he says, now, what is it? What is its name? The name is discouragement. Discouragement. The devil uses discouragement. And this tool is worn out, and that's what the devil start to use in every one of you. All others, they follow this one. You don't need, you bring in doubt in everybody, you bring in discouragement in a person, and immediately that person starts to start hating you, isn't it? That person is going to start being jealous with you, and so on. And the devil, now in this situation, instead of us allowing ourselves to succumb to this, we should draw nearer to God. Resist the devil. We must resist the devil. Now the Israelites, now the Arameans, they thought that they have won the game. While the devil assumed that our God is the God of church building, let us go down to the knees at our own homes. For this God of church buildings is also God in our own homes too. My second point was a dynamic announcement. The dynamic announcement doesn't just come anywhere else. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from listening from the Word of God. It comes from listening from men and women of God that are sharing the good news. Verse 28 of chapter 20 says, there was a man of God came near. The man of God came near and spoke to the king of Israel, that was King Ahab, and said, "Thus says the Lord, because the Arameans have said, 'The Lord is the God of the mountains, but he is not a God of the valley,' therefore I will give all the great multitudes into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." King Ahab, did he hear about this message from someone else? It only came from the prophet. The Lord told the prophet that these people, they perceive that I am the God of the mountains. And so God, now he told now the prophet, now go and tell your king that though they are in numbers, you are only just a small bundle of goats like goats, but there are multitudes. I'm going to give them over to you. There was only one problem with the Syrian assumption. That they never know that God is omnipresent. And the greater that they thought he was, in the midst of the threat, God sent his prophet to tell Ahab that he is God that can prove himself and is a God not only of the mountains and is also God in the valley. He assured his people of victory. Because the Arameans have said, "The Lord is the God of the mountains, but he is not God of the valley." Because of that, the Israelites, they found courage. They found courage, though they were a small group. Let me remind you that God is omnipresent and is bigger than your valley. I know that it is easier to serve the Lord when you are on the mountaintop, when everything is going well. It is easier when you are excited about the Lord and about his work. However, even when you go through the trials, through the valley of death, we should also have this kind of thanksgiving in our hearts and assurance that God is with us. God determined to prove us that he is God even in circumstances that we are in. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, not to those who called according to his purpose." And the New American Standard Version says that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." This is the God that we are serving. Saints, God loves you even in times of distress. The Israelites, they never knew that amongst them, the God still loved them. Even amongst us, I know that some of us don't even realize that the God still loves us. If you can think of the sin of Israel at the time, was so horrible. They were not worshiping the true God. They were worshiping false God. False God. But despite of that, God was on their side. Let me, almost in my completion, there was a divine accomplishment. Despite of all this, in verse 29 through 30, verse 29 through 30 says, so they camped one over against the other 7 days. And it came about that on the 7th day, the battle was joined, and the sons of Israel killed of the Arameans 100,000 foot soldiers. 100,000 foot soldiers were killed in one day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and the wall fell on 27,000 men who were left, and Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city on inner chamber. Israelite had only 7,000. We see 100,000 died. 27,000, the Lord just killed them. The wall fell over them, died. The people of Israel believed in their God, and they enjoyed a tremendous victory over the Syrians. They saw their army put to fight by the power of God working through them. This is the place that God desires you to see today. He wants you to see that even your enemies, the devil, I'm not talking about people as your enemies, I'm talking about the evil, the devil. Satan, he is roaring around. He is roaming around seeking to devour you and I. You know, I also want to take a few moments and show you another illustration of an accomplishment that some people may not even take notice of. There's a man in America, and this guy, he lost his job. In actual fact, he went into retirement. Not just lost his job, in retirement. And he received his first check, the paycheck of pension. You know that when you're in retirement, you rely on pension. And next month, he was expecting another first check, another second check. You know, and there was nothing coming forth. And he waited and waited, nothing coming forth. And he decided now to look at something that he can do. That he can do. And all that he found, he decided now, let me just jot down every gift that I ever have, that I ever receive. Let me jot down every blessing that I have, that we have ever known in the family. And amongst those, he found a recipe of his mom. A recipe of his mom. And this recipe was spices, various spices, different spices, 11 different herbs and spices. And he took this and says, all right, fine. Let me see if I can use this, and then let me go and find a job. He went into the town, and when he found a job at the restaurant, he found a job. He says, now, I want to be a cook, to be chef. He says, all right, you want to be a chef? Fine. They gave him the job of as a chef. But there's a special chef now that only does the fried chicken. Started to fry chicken. And he used now that recipe of his mom. And everybody found us, hey. He now he became popular. He says, who did this? And instead, he did not even share with his employer of this recipe. And I keep it to me. It's my secret. And then eventually, this night become popular, he decided now to establish his own restaurants, various restaurants. And out of these restaurants now, everybody, they said, no, there's something extraordinary about this. And the name of his restaurants, he named them Kentucky Fried Chicken. Spend, you know about him. Kenneth Saunders. And then Kenneth Saunders, he drew right from the bottom of himself. And then he started now to have franchise in the whole world. He died as a millionaire in America. But this is the hand of God that can do wonders when you think everything is over. And I know amongst you, there were people that have lost some jobs and you find yourself a job all of a sudden. When you think everything is over and you find yourself something. When you think there's no more income and you find yourself something. But this morning, I want, as I conclude, saints, I just want to tell you that do not give up. You must remember that the God we serve is not God of the church building. He's also God of our own homes. And may God bless you. Amen.
Yeah.